and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, if you've been studying with me, you know that we've just got through studying about a beast that comes out of the sea. Revelation 13, verse 1 says, "And I stood," now this is John the Apostle speaking, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Well, we keep reading, and we find out that this is none other than the Antichrist, and he receives his power from Satan himself. And he's going to be on the scene during the tribulation period. That's a seven-year period, and the Bible says there's never been a time like it, and there will never be another time like it, especially the last 3.5 years where the beast, the Antichrist, really forces everyone to worship him. And all those people will worship him except those who have not received the mark of the beast. And that is, once again, we read of that, 666. We've heard that many times in our lives. And the Bible says that is simply the mark of a man. The Antichrist, the beast, is a man. But he forces everyone to worship him, especially in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And all those will worship him except those who do not have the mark of the beast. And those people are, according to the Word of God, they're saved. They will not do what the devil wants them to do. Many of them will give their lives. They will die because they will not worship the beast, the Antichrist. Well, we move on in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, and we read of another beast. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Well, after the disclosure of the first beast, John now beholds another beast coming up out of the earth, and occupying a secondary role supporting the activities of the first beast. In contrast to the first beast, which comes out of the sea, the second beast is said to come out of the earth. Now, he is of a similar nature to the first beast. And notice, it says another beast, and this means one like in kind. In other words, they resemble each other. Well, though some have interpreted the word earth as referring to the Holy Land, it is the general word for the earth. Now, if the sea, mentioned as the source of the first beast, represents the mass of humanity, indicating the racial background of the first beast as a Gentile, and some people believe that he will be a Gentile, if that's the case, the reference to the second beast as coming out of the earth indicates that this character is from the earth, rather than from heaven. And Revelation 13:11 talks about that. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20 says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Well, you say, why do I put this here, the end, before we get into the study of the false prophet? Well, I simply want you to see that these two work together. And the false prophet did miracles, so-called miracles, to get people to worship, to bow down to the first beast, who is the Antichrist, to get them to worship his image. Well, some say that the false prophet is a Jew. Well, now, his geographic origin and his racial connection are not mentioned in the Word of God. To argue that the earth means Palestine and that, therefore, this character is a Jew, I believe, is reading into the passage more than it says. And then the description of him, of the Antichrist as a lamb, indicates that he is a false Christ. Revelation 13:11 again says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." His real colors will come out. In other words, his real intentions will be seen eventually as he keeps prophesying, if you want to call it that, and doing so-called miracles. His real person will come out. He's like a lamb, but he is of the dragon. He speaks as a dragon. And notice this, that his speaking as a dragon indicates that his words come from none other than Satan himself. Now, this beast resembles a lamb, and that to me would indicate he was a mild-mannered person until he spoke. I believe that the false prophet will speak in a harsh, haughty, proud, arrogant tone, as quite naturally we would suppose a dragon would. If a dragon could speak, would have the power of utterance, would sound like that dragon. Actually, he's one who sounds like the devil because he is of the devil. Well, the general sense is that while this beast has, in one respect, in its resemblance to a lamb, the appearance of great gentleness, meekness, and kindness, it has in another respect a haughty, domineering, and arrogant spirit given to him by the devil. Well, there's an activity of this false prophet that we read of in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 12. It says, "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." Now, we talked about how that he's going to cause people to worship the Antichrist, the first beast. Well, he uses all the authority. In other words, according to verse 12 of Revelation 13, he uses all the authority of the first beast to cause people to worship the first beast. And I believe that we read of that wound in chapter 13 of verse 12. We read of the wound received by the first beast, and we spoke of this in the study of the Antichrist himself. That wound was healed. Well, the devil cannot give life. The devil has the power of death, according to the Word of God. Some people believe that the Antichrist will rise from the dead, but let me remind you that the devil cannot give life to anyone. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." This is speaking of Jesus Christ, of course. He did that, according to this scripture, Hebrews 2:14, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Well, who is it that has the power of death? And that is the devil. The devil is the one who causes death. And Jesus Christ is the giver of life, of course. The devil cannot give life. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." And Jesus, all through the scripture, we speak of Jesus as giving life. In John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now that's everyone who trusts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They live, because they've trusted the one who gives life, and that life comes through Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives it, eternal life. And God is the one who breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and he became a living soul. And that's how you and I are alive today, is because of God. He gives us the breath of life. Let me stop here just a moment. How long has it been since you thanked God for your life, for the breath that he gives you? Now, you may be going through a difficult time, but you still have the breath of life. Why not thank God for that? Sometimes we fail to thank God for what we consider the little things, or things that we don't even think about. Most of the time, we don't even think about the breath until we have a problem with breathing. So why don't we just thank God on a regular basis for giving us life and for giving us the breath of life? Well, in Revelation chapter 13, we get back to our study of the false prophet here. In verse 13, it says, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Well, this second beast, who is the false prophet, of course, he performs great signs, causing fire to come down from the sky. Now, notice this about Revelation 13 and verse 13. Fire coming down from heaven in the sight of men is possibly an imitation of Pentecost. You remember, as the 120, as they were in the upper room, it says, "Cloven tongues as of fire set upon each one of them." It doesn't mean that they got burned or anything like that. It was a representation of the power of God. The power of the Holy Spirit was coming upon these people. And this fire, of course, came from God himself, the Holy Spirit. And what we see in verse 13 there is about him performing great wonders, causing fire to come down from the sky. This is speaking of the false prophet. It could be an imitation of Pentecost, or even that of Elijah's miracles that we read of in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. You remember Elijah prayed and the fire of God fell. And he was having, I don't even call it a contest, with Baal's priests or whatever, the people who were there trying to do the things that they couldn't do, saying that they could perform all the miracles that God would have them perform. Well, they were not of God, but Elijah was, and he called down the fire of God out of heaven. Well, the false prophet evidently is trying to do the same thing, or he gets people to believe that he's doing the same thing that God had Elijah do. Well, notice that the word heaven here in verse 13 of Revelation 13, this word in this verse 13 of Revelation can be understood as mid-sky. In other words, this fire did not come down from heaven. This fire was seen coming down from mid-sky. And that would be the air around us, I believe, is what it's speaking of. Now, Luke chapter 11. Now, let me go back just a moment. Who is the prince and power of the air? The Bible says that the devil is the prince and the power of the air. So whatever took place here, the devil caused it. For fire to come down, or whatever took place there, according to verse 13. Fire came down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, once again, the word heaven here means mid-sky. That's a reference to mid-sky. So do not get that confused with God's heaven, his abode. The devil is the prince and the power of the air. And that's where it came from. Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 31 says this, "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet." Now here we see that God's speaking to the Jewish people. He says it's an evil generation, and they look for a sign. But there's not going to be a sign given them, he says, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. "For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." God loves you today, and he wants you to know him as your Savior. If you do not know him, ask him to come into your heart. The Bible says that if you'll trust him, he'll save you. You need to do that. And if you are saved, you need to be serving him right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.